I gave you what amounts to the second stack. Because of the way I'm doing all this, there's a lot of inefficiency, a lot of wasted paper. This page, the first page of your new stack, we started to read a couple of shiurim ago, that means the second shiur I gave you, which was, Tuesday night. And then I decided to go back and do the shemen thing. So I did the shemen thing on Wednesday night. But I made the decision to go through the shemen quickly because I didn't want it to become a whole distraction. So we did shemen on Wednesday. So we're going to redo this page. We're going to read it. And we're going to develop the conversation from here. So I guess we could say we have 2 points so far. Point A is the Hasidus says, Alakus is Alts and Alts is Alakus. And point B, that the mushal that illustrates this, Alakus is Alts and Alts is Alakus, is Shemen. Based on the various characteristics that we know about Shemen, based on the Kuntas Neonash Teres Hasidus and the Sikhe from Tafshin and Beis Chanukah that we did last time. Now one becomes two. In other words, once we understand that Hasidus is 1 point, the 1 point of Hasidus is going to become 2 points. So we read the part of the Sikha which is not in a box, and I must be candid and apologize. The original of this is in Yiddish, and the Yiddish is much more Yishmak. It's the Friedrich of his own pen, the Yiddish. But I made this Hebrew copy, and I'm leaving it this way, at least in the meantime. So we're going to read inside, okay? So again, to repeat what I said, what's going to happen tonight, one is going to become two. In the first couple of classes, Hasidus was 1 point, now Hasidus is going to become 2 points. And what's going to follow is that we're going to go down one of these two paths. We're not going to go down both paths. Technically, the morning is the other path, but we're not exactly doing the other path. But at night, we're going to go down one of the two paths. So here we go. Meireinu Rabbi Saul Baal Shem Tov, our teacher, Rabbi Saul Baal Shem Tov, Yosed Ubiseis Esterase, founded and supported his Torah al shnei yisedes, on two foundations. Yedias Habeire v'Avas Yisrael. There are two pillars that underscore this statement, the Lakus is Alt, Alt is Lakus, and the idea of Shemen, knowing the Eibishter and loving a fellow Jew. And v'hit'imam gam b'shvil anoshim pshutim. In doing so, in making his teaching, his Torah, founded on these two ideas of knowing the Eibishter and Avas Yisrael, he made it available even for the simplest of people. And to be sure, to take it to another level, it wasn't the pshat that he made that simple people should be able to understand it. He redefined what a simple person is. He had a whole different concept of how to look at a simple person. The Baal Shem Tov had a Noshim Pshutim on the highest imaginable pedestal. And we continue. Be'yeisei ben Chamesh, when the Baal Shem Tov was 5, Nisher Meireinu Baal Shem Tov Yosef Me Aviv HaKadosh. The holy Baal Shem Tov was an orphan from his holy father, Shenifter, who passed away, B'she'iru Lei HaTzavo HaKtzara HaBo. And he left him with the following short will. Let me give you a little background, okay? Kedem Kol, there's several stories about the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov. The first story about the neshama of the Baal Shem Tov is that there's a letter that describes who the Baal Shem Tov was in a former Gilgul. Who was the Baal Shem Tov in the Gilgul before? It's a very geshmak ha'maisa. And the story is that there was a Yid in Tzfas, about the time of the Arizal, if you count, you do the math, around the time of the Arizal, who was a poshet Yid, ish tam v'yirash, yashad v'sor mera, yirei elikim v'sor mera, pious Jew. He was simple, he was not very learned, but he was unbelievably sincere and unbelievably emesdik and unbelievably tzniestik. He's described, he was always from the first to come to the shul, from the last to leave the shul, and so on and so forth. Anyway, one day there's a knock on his door, and he asks who it is, and they tell him it's Eliyahu HaNavi Zohar Latev. Eliyahu HaNavi is knocking on his door. So he opens the door, Eliyahu HaNavi walks in, the room is filled with light, and Eliyahu HaNavi tells him the following, that he was sent from the Beis Din Shel Milo, because on the day of his bar mitzvah, he did something that not even they, not even the Beis Din Shel Milo knows what it is. So they sent him as a shliach, that if this Yid will reveal what special thing he did in the day of his bar mitzvah, he'll teach him everything. all the secrets of the Torah. In other words, I'll have to give him the koiches to learn Torah, and I'll teach him all the secrets, nigla, nister, siches eifes, siches dekolim. He'll teach him all the secrets in the world. So this Yid said to the Baal Shem, to Yohanavi, what I did on the day by the mitzvah, I did for the Eibishter alone. And if, because I refuse to tell this to you, I remain without this information, it be it, so be it. So Yohanavi left. So you can understand yourself what happened. Yohanavi came l'maylo, there became even a bigger tumult. A person should be mevatet on everything for the sake of Atznei Alech Hashem Hashem Alekecha. So they came again to him, to this Yid. And they told us here that they paskan milmaila, that they're going to teach him all of these things, and he doesn't have to reveal what he did in David's bar mitzvah. And this Yid became a godel, a gon and a godel and a tzaddik and a kaddish and a makubal. I mean, Allah zachen, a different kind of human being, a completely different kind of person. He lived his whole life the same way he had lived it before he had all of this yeda and all of this giluyim. And nobody ever in his entire lifetime had any idea that he was anything other than a simple man. And he died. When he came l'mayla, when he came l'mayla, so the Mishnah, when tzaddikim pass away, it's described as a big simcha, they all come to be makabel ponav, and the
sounds the opposite of this world. It's a simcha when a tzaddik passes away. And
because he's leaving, but he's going over there. So when he's coming back, l'mayla tzegavaldik simcha, they all come upon him. The Baal Shem Tov has a letter, the famous letter by Yifutza Marzach HaChutza. He said he saw a great simcha, so he asked, "Does this mean that I'm going to pass away?" No, it's a different reason. A kid said, and there was a huge simcha, and he came to the best, and everybody has to be judged, and nobody thought there's going to be any objections. How could you criticize a Jew like this? Besides of being such a great and erlich hayit, he was so tzanua. So modest, so hidden, so secret. And his din was basically sealed. And this teeny tiny little black malach creeps in under the door and he starts to scream. He has a taina. How could it be that a yid should have such a big neshama and should have so much teda, so much aveda, so much mesiras nefesh, and not one person should be inspired by his metias? Not one person other than himself gained from who he was. Totally secret. So it became a tumult in the Bezen Shalmael. Can't punish him, but the Taina is a good Taina. So they paskin that his neshama is going to come back out into this world a second time, but it's not going to go through the regular path that kol adrochem becheska sakona. When the neshama comes into this world, it's dangerous. He's going to come into this world in a very different way. He's going to come into this world to reveal a new chelik and teda, based on the principle of Yahafta L'Reach HaKamoicha, that's going to prepare the world to the coming of Mashiach. And this is the Nisham of the Baal Shem Tov. In the earlier Gilgal, this is a letter from the other Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov, he writes to him, this is your Nisham in the Fiyadik Gilgal. It's the first story. And the second story, this is more known, this is in the Kutta Deburim, that when the Baal Shem Tov's Nisham had to come down into this world, so they were looking for which parents would be Zeichet to have this Nisham. And they picked Rabbi Eliezer, a tzaddik, and his wife was Rebbe Tzinsara. They never had any children. They were big tzaddikim. The way it's written in this particular version, they were big machnisi erech. There's contradictions whether they were very rich or very poor. It's very hard to figure out. And the story was that it was Shabbos, and a yid shows up in town. They lived in Tlust. The Baal Shem Tov was born in a shtetl called Tlust. In some places it says that he was born in a city called Akup. How could he be born in two different places? And for the Gemara, the name of the city was Tlust. But it was the olden times. The communication was very poor and there was dense forests. So every single city built a moat. You know what a moat means? A ditch. A very deep ditch all the way around the city. That if pirates or marauders wanted to enter into the town, they couldn't just run into the town because it was an early warning system. But they had a bridge that went up and down, and they would watch it. So the Baal Shem Tov grew up in such a pit. The poorest people used to climb down into these moats and build little shanties, little shacks. And that's where the Baal Shem Tov was born. So the city was Tlust, but he was born in Tlust, in Akupi, which in Ukrainian means a trench, a ditch. And somehow, the Baal Shem Tov's father, in spite of his great wealth, was a big machnas erech. It was Shabbos morning, and a yid walked into town, walked across the drawbridge. Now you're talking, what, 300 years ago? More than 300 years ago, yeah, close to 320 years ago. A Yid walks into the town and crosses across the drawbridge. He's clearly a Machalal Shabbos because he walked beyond the Tchum. The nearest shtetl was not anywhere in Tchum Shabbos. So nobody would have anything to do with him. He walked into Shul, no one said, next Agoy. And you remember, this is before Deir HaShvi'i, when the Freya you are, the more we love you, the Frumer you are, the more we eat your heart out. In those days, it wasn't like that. So he walked, no one's talked to him. Rabbi Eliezer sees that a Yid is being ostracized. He sits next to him. He tells him, Shalom Aleichem, he starts to talk. And the whole Shul is shushking. He's talking to a Rosh, to a Goy. Whatever language they would have used 3 centuries ago to describe such a person, they were using, and Eliezer treated him with incredible avos Yisrael. Bottom line is, he took him home with him, along with his other guests. He sat down next to him, and he gave him more cover than anybody else. And all the guests were very disturbed. He's a Russia, and you know, they would call such a person a goy. There were 2 kinds of Jews: from Jews and Achman Latzan Mishum Madam, Jews who gave up their faith. There was no such thing as Freya Yidden, because the whole thing is Freya Goyim. It was a very religious world. Lahavdil. Anyway, a whole Shabbos, Rabbi Eliezer is being makadah this Yid, and a whole Shabbos people are harassing him. Motzei Shabbos, this Yid says to the Baal Shem Tov's father, Rabbi Eliezer, I want to speak to you alone. He takes him outside the house, and he tells him that he's Eliyahu HaNavi, and that a new Nisham, a special Nisham has to come into this world, which is going to reveal a new Derech and Teda, based on the principle of Yahavta L'Reich HaKomech, that's going to prepare the world for the coming of Mashiach. And they were looking to see who would be Zeche to be the parents of this child. And this is why he came to test him, to see his midah of Avos Yisrael. So he said to Rabbi Eliezer, because of your Avos Yisrael, you're going to be Zeche to be the father of this child. This is the second story. Then there's a Reshima from the Friedrich Rebbe, where the Friedrich Rebbe writes that he copied a note from somebody who copied a note from an original manuscript of the Alter Rebbe with some very, very powerful and strange details. And one of them is that the Baal Shem Tov was born, his father was 100 and his mother was 90. In other words, it was completely supernatural. They never had any children before. They were infertile. They were akodim. It was a nes. So he was born to very, very old parents. And they didn't live very long. Here it says Baal Shem Tov's father was 5. In other places, it's hard to know. Maybe he was even younger. But it says that the Baal Shem Tov, at the age of 3 months, could walk and talk. Now, I don't know which member of your family you are, but children don't walk till about a year, and they don't talk till about 2 years. And this has to do with pushing the physical biology. It's not just learning. It has to do with pushing the development of the brain, especially walking the first year. That the Baal Shem Tov could walk and talk at 3 months has absolutely no way to be explained in Teva. Can't be. So when the Baal Shem Tov was 5, he wasn't like you and I are 5. You know, Rivka got married at 3, you understand? Shmuel HaNavi was deposited in the Beis HaMikdash and left Ad Olam, was 2.5 years old, his mother dropped him off. Baal Shem Tov's 5 is very different than your 5 and my 5. Nevertheless, when his father and mother passed away, he was very young. And the close Hasipur is, that Baal Shem Tov grew up in this house of holy people, his father and his mother. And when his parents passed, he became the property of the kehila. The community had to look after him. There was an orphanage in every town. This is 50 years after Tachvatat. There were many of people who got married older, who died and left little kids. And every settler had an orphanage, but the orphanages were very, very poorly provided for. They kept you alive, pretty much. And the Baal Shem Tov hated the orphanage. And he would frequently go out into the forests. And one time, in one of his excursions in the forest, he met a tzaddik nistet, who had known his father, Rebbe Eliezer. That's how he joined with the Tzaddikim Nestorim. He stayed with them till Bar Mitzvah. Then he became a member, and at 14 he became a leader. And at the Harichas HaSipur is at the age of 26, on his 26th birthday, he met his Rebbe, Achia HaShiloini, who began to teach him Chassidus. They learned for exactly 10 years to the day. He was born Chai Yel Shnas Nachas, Chai Yel 1698. And he met his Rebbe Chayel Tov Peidalad. That would be 1724. And Chayel Tov Tzaladal 1734, the Baal Shem Tov finished learning the whole Teda of Yechsidus. And in his own, there's a letter with Baal Shem Tov, Vinis Galesi, and I revealed myself. The life of the Baal Shem Tov is divided into 3, 26, 26, and 10.
How old has anybody revealed himself?
36 years old. So it's called Havaya HaNister, 26 years he was a Tzaddik Nister. Havaya Ragoli, 26 years he was a Rebbe. And in between the two, there is a Cheshbon of 10 years. This is a little bit of background. Now let's get to the story. So the Baal Shem Tov's father called him and he told him, as far reading back to the text, now, Bni, my son, Kach Omer Agon HaTzaddik HaYishish, so spoke the genius, the Tzaddik, the ancient one, the old one, Rabbi Eliezer, b'shachrei amitas cholye, as he lay on his deathbed, b'regoyim o'achreinim l'chayo b'eilam zeh, in his last moments of life on this earth, el b'no yechidei ben achomish, to his only son who was 5 years old, and he told him the following, quote, al tira me'af echad u'mishum davar b'eilam, you should fear nobody and nothing in this world, ki'im yakadosh baruch avad, fear only God. And then, ahuv, b'chol emek lipcha, love with all the depth of your heart, u'b'lahav nishmascha, and the fire of your soul, kol Yehudi, every Jew, b'li hevdel, without any separation, mihu ve'echu, how he is and who he is. Two statements. Achdus Hashem, that there's nothing to be afraid of to the Eibishter, because nobody has any power in this world, except for the Eibishter himself, and you should know, that the Baal Shem Tev, it's brought in Sefer Shivchei HaBaal Shem Tev, which is considered by Arabim very reliable. The stories of the Baal Shem Tev, you know, the old word, if you believe them all, you're a fool. If you don't believe they could have happened, you're a heretic. But the Baal Shem Tev stories are a dime a dozen. Certain Svarim, very few Svarim are considered by us reliable. One of them is Sefer Shivchei HaBaal Shem Tev. The Baal Shem Tev, throughout his life, when he found himself in a really tight situation, he used to say, Eini Yari Mishum Dover Ki Mi HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Yatzmei. It was like, Bahimut was his... It was his mantra. I'm afraid of nothing except for God himself. In other words, his father told him as a boy, he lived his whole life with. But Pail, I'm not afraid. What? My father told me I shouldn't be afraid. It doesn't matter who he was fighting with. It was a Gashmi Zdika Klipa, Ruchni Zdika Klipa, small Klipa, big Klipa. He started out with the Samach Mem himself. And when they used to say, you're not afraid, he would say, my father told me before he passed, Eini Yodim Yishum Dover Ki Me'akadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma, I shouldn't fear anything except for the Eibishter himself. That's Achdus. There's nothing. Nobody has any power. Not Sitter Achere, not Klipe, not this, not this. Just the Eibishter himself. And the Baal Shem Tev lived that way. And of course, the other theme is after Av Yisrael. Let's continue to read. B'tzavok Tzarezu, in this very abbreviated will, Mosar Ha'av HaKadosh, the Holy Father gave Libno Yechidei ben Achamish to his only son who was 5. Esatzeid al aderach, food for the path, l'chol achayim, for the duration of his life. And he explains, Tzava'osai haktzara shel of this short will of the Baal Shem Tev's father, Shetoichna entails 2 points, Yiras Hashem, fear of God, and Avas Yisrael, love of fellow. And like I keep saying to you, it's not just fear of God, it's nothing else but God, Achdus Hashem, Mahave Eitzel Meireinu HaBaal Shem Tev, forms in the world of the Baal Shem Tev, as Shnei Luchas Abris, the 2 tablets of the covenant, the Eitz HaChayim ve'Eitz HaDas, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge, Shel Chaya v'Akadesh of his holy life. The Fidekev used the word Eitz HaChayim and Eitz HaDas. Now if you would be scholars and thinkers, you would right away say, so which is Eitz HaChayim, which is Eitz HaDas? Api Kabbalah, Eitz HaChayim is higher, Eitz HaDas is lower. It's a chaim as no shaychas to tevara. It's as a shaychas to tevara. So in these 2 principles of Yiras Hashem and Avas Yisrael, which is higher? And if you've learned the maimed that comes a couple of pages later, you can take a flip it both ways, depending on how you want to look at it. Shel chayav akadosh of his holy life, tamid, constantly, b'chol zman b'chol makom, in all times and all places, meyilei, it shines to him, amud ha'oir, the pillar of light. Shel shivisi havaya lenegdi, I place God before me, tamid, all the time. And you should know there's a moid in the Ketanei Baal Shem Tev on this word. What does the word shivisi mean?
I put.
I place. How did you know that? Because I said it about 60 seconds ago. I just said it.
Does that mean
shuvah? No, shivisi, shuvah is with a base. This is with a vav. Shivisi means I place. Like shata in davin and davin. Shata in the same lenegdecha. But the Baal Shem Tev has a different touch. Shivisi from the word shava. Shivisi, whatever happens to me is the same. Good or bad is the same. Why? Because Hashem lenegdi summon. Shivisi, when the Eibishter gives me a good dish, or the Eibishter gives me a bad dish, it's the same. It's called Midas HaShtavas. It's a madrega of David and Malach. It's a very, very high madrega. Right? And the Gemara says that now for good you say Ateva Ametev. For bad you say Dayan Emes. When Mashiach comes, you're going to say Ateva Ametev for good and Ateva Ametev for bad, because then we're all going to be in this madrega. But in Elam Hazeh, you can count on one hand people who are in a madrege where Toiv and Ra are Shoveh. David the Melech says, and Hashem Tev is quoting it, Shivisi, by me good and evil is the same, because Avaya Lenegdi Samed, the Eibishter is opposite me all the time. That's pillar number 1. And pillar number two, Obayerbe, and it burns within him, Amud Ha'esh Shel Avas Yisrael, the pillar of fire, of love, of fellow Jew. And then the Rebbe goes on to proceed that this is all preparations for Mashiach. So again, if I could get you into my head, or get my head into your head, here's how I want you to appreciate the transition, the evolution. Last week, we defined Chassidus in one point. Alakus is out is Alakus, and the mashal for it is Shemen. Now Chassidus is becoming 2 points. Number one, Achdus Hashem, and number two, Avas Yisrael. And you must appreciate that when you take the one inyan of Chassidus, Alakus is out, Alta is Alakus, Shemen, and you split it now into these 2 points of Achdus Hashem, Einid Mulvadi, and V'yahavta L'recha Kamoicha, both of them are Elikus Hizalt Altas Elikus. Both of them are Shemen. It's not like one is more, one is less, one is Iket. Both of them, side the principle of Achdus Hashem, is Altas Elikus Elikus. That's Avi is. But the union of Avas Yisrael, the idea of the preciousness of a Jew, also ties into this principle that everything is God and God is everything. The idea of Shemen Shabbatei. Okay? You understand what I just said, right? So here's what's happening. We can go down one of two paths. We can go down the Achdus path, or we can go down the Avas Yisrael path. We could talk about the Eibishter, or talk about Jews. We're going down the Avas Yisrael path. The Eibishter we're talking about in the morning. The Yidden we're talking about at night. Well, Mit Shem, remember, by the time this year is over, we'll see how well we did. Because this is it's a work in progress. You and I are on the same page. In the morning, you see, we're talking about the Eibishter. At night, we're going to talk about Yidden. So in other words, the first few days, we didn't yet specialize the Limud. But now it's clear. There's two areas to Chassidus. And both of them are, Elikus is Altas Elikus. Both of them are that Shemen is everywhere. No, all the stuff we discussed last week on Wednesday. Achdus Hashem and Avas Yisrael. But the road we're going to take is Avas Yisrael. Achdus Hashem is not on the table for us.
Did the Baal
Shem get married? Sure, of course, when they got married. It's indicative, it's implicit that he was married twice, actually.
Who is Achia Shlomo?
Just 1 second, yeah, 1 second. Baal Shem Tov was married. It says in Sforim, there's a fellow who made a book called Nisui HaNasiim. And of course, the credibility of that book is only as credible as the sources that he quotes. But we know for sure Baal Shem Tov had a wife whose name was either Leah Rachel or Rachel Leah. I think Rachel Leah. The reason it's a contradiction is because there's quite a few letters from him to her. In most of them, he calls her Rachel Leah, and a couple he calls him Leah Rachel. But we know of those letters that they were copies that were made in haste. So it's conceivable that a mistake was made. And since in most cases it's Rachel Leah and not Leah Rachel, so we can assume that her name was Rachel Leah. But there are a number of letters where he addresses his wife as Chana. Now, I don't know if this has any credibility, but it's accepted that Baal Shem Tov was married once, and his wife passed away shortly thereafter, and he married a second time. His wife is Rachel Leah. From which of his two wives he had two children, we don't know. Bestamit was from the... He had his wife, one of his wives was the daughter of a famous tzaddik. She was the sister of Gershon Kitteved, the Tatezed Gehesen. Rabbi Ephraim of Brod. He was the Rav of Brod.
Brody?
The Rav of Brod, Brody. The Gershon Kitteved was his brother-in-law.
Didn't like
at the beginning, he didn't like him. He had a son and a daughter. Turns out a son and a daughter. His son is less famous. His name was Reb Tzvi. And his daughter is very, very famous because she's the grandmother of some famous Hasidic Rebbes, like Reb Baruch Mezhebezher, the Degel Machne Ephraim, the Sidlik of a Rebbe, and also Reb Nachman of Braslover. She's his grandmother. And her name was Odel, Aleph Dalet Lamed. And the Baal Shem Tov said that he took her name, her neshama, from the Teda. And Odel is Rosh HaTevis, Eish Dos Lomei. Bashamtev's selection of souls. Well, so that's Soyed Bashamtev's life, yes. Now you ask me Echia Shilani. Echia Shilani says in Ambam at the beginning that he was Yetzi Mitzrayim. And Katan Hoibim Memesha.
He left
Mitzrayim. He left Mitzrayim. He lived 500 years. He was the Nasi before Eliyahu. If you look in the beginning of Rambam, remember the Akdam of Rambam, he lists all the generations? You learn Rambam?
Yeah,
so you miss all the generations. So the first generation is Moshe, and then you have Yeshua, and then you have the Zekanim, and then you have Pinchas ben Elazar, and then you have Elazar ben Anakein, you have Pinchas ben Elazar, then you have basically Eliyahu Kohen, and then you have Shmuel, and then you have David. right? And then you have Nosson and God. Maybe I'm messing them order up, but the sixth or the seventh is Achia. And then the next one after him is Eliyahu. Achia HaShiloini had the dubious distinction, there's a Rebbe at the Sicha and the Bachelor's Pinchas Taker, Toshin Yud, to be the one to divide the Jewish nation in two. He was the Navi who gave Yeravam ben Nevat the 10 pieces of Shmata and told him, you will be a king of a 10 nation, 10 tribes. You know that story? That Yeravam ben Nevat criticized Shlomo. Because Shlomo did Averis. In other words, he was such a big tzaddik, he was a critic of Shlomo Melech. Shlomo tried to kill him, so he ran away to Mitzrayim. Achia Shiloni ran after him, grabbed the tail of his coat, tore off a piece of cloth, tore it into 10 little pieces and handed it back to him. And the Abishas are giving you 10 tribes. And Shlomo only gets 2. And then this Yeravam, who was so great that he was able to criticize Shlomo, became the greatest Rasha in history. You have Pikiyavis, Yeravam ben Nevat, Chota Vehechti. He became such a terrible, terrible, terrible Rasha. This is Yeravam ben Nevat. So the Rebbe has a Sikha that since Achia, so Eliyahu HaNavi taught Kabbalah to the Arizal. Achia Shilani is one generation closer. She's one generation higher. So he taught Chassidus to the Baal Shem Tev. And it's brought in a letter from the Rebbe, it's a long story, that Achia Eliyahu HaNavi taught the Arizal Kabbalah for 7 years. Achia Shilani taught the Baal Shem Tev Chassidus for 10 years. And there's a whole explanation why this is 7 and why this is 10.
From that time?
No. His neshama came into this world. Eliyahu HaNavi lived from that time till he taught Teder to Eliyahu HaNavi. Eliyahu HaNavi taught Teder to the Arizal. Yeah, he came to the Arizal, taught him Teder. Eliyahu HaNavi is quoted repeatedly in the Sefer HaZayed. By the way, the Achia Shelen is also mentioned quite often in the Zayed. They were neshamas that came from the other world. They were Mislabish and Aguf, and they did what they had to do. This is the dimension of reality that most of us have no concept is going on. I just want you to turn to the next page. Some of you don't have it because the copies didn't come out. But I copied the introduction to the Chinuch Katan for one reason. Because the introduction to the Chinuch Katan, which is the Alter Rebbe's introduction to Chelek Sheni of Tanya, it says at least twice, I underlined it, K'moy she'yis bayer b'im koyim barich. Does anybody know Hebrew? K'moy she'yis bayer. That I did explain or that I will explain? That I will explain. And here it says, K'moy she'yis bayer b'im koyim again. The two sources that the Alter Rebbe is referencing, Kamesha Yisbayir, is in the Kutta Amorim Chelek Rishon. When the Alter Rebbe made the Tanya, the original Tanya had two parts. And it was called Lakuta Amorim Sefer Shel Beinanim and Lakuta Amorim Shara Yichad Ve'amuna. The Tanya had two parts. Lakuta Amorim, a collection of sayings, the Book of Intermediates. Lakuta Amorim, the Book of Faith and Unity. What's the difference? Simple. One speaks about Jews, and one speaks about God. In other words, the two pillars that we just established, that Chassidus is built on, the one idea, Altas HaLakutz, HaLakutz is Alt, Shemin, is now being divided into two, Achtas HaShem and Avos Yisrael, when the Alter Rebbe made the Tanya originally. The Tanya now has 5 parts. The original Tanya had 2 parts. The Alter Rebbe, during his lifetime, added the 3rd part, Tshuva. The last 2 were added after the Alter Rebbe's Histalkus. The original Tanya, for the first 10 years, the Tanya had 2 sections. One section is about Avodah, Neshamis, us, Jews. And the other section is about Achtos, about the Eibishter. So Chassidim give over. The Friedrich Rebbe says it also. That the Alter Rebbe couldn't decide which he should put first. Avodah or Askola. If you have a philosophy of life that's based on a philosophical thesis, an abstract philosophical thesis, which comes first? The practical way to live or the philosophical thesis, which is the basis for the practical way of living? So intellectually, you go from the top down. First, you have a philosophical thesis, and on the base of the philosophical thesis, you live a practical way of life. But when you're talking to human beings, first tell them how to live, and then tell them why. So the Shara Yichud Ve'emuna is about the Eibishter. The Kuti Amorim Sefer Shel Beinanim is about Neshamas Yisrael. And the Alter Rebbe couldn't decide which to put first, which to put second. He made the decision to put Neshamas Yisrael first, or if I can use these atheists, he made the decision to put Avas Yisrael before Achdus Hashem, but he left several hints to his uncertainty. You understand? He didn't want to leave us hanging, so he left several hints to his uncertainty by writing twice in the Akdama, the Shalichah Demunah, Kumeisha Yisbayet, about something which we explained before. So let me say this. Tomorrow night, I will give the Shir early, like 8:15. Because a lot of Chevra already started the next page, which is page Reish and Reish Aleph. Now, what do you want to tell you? Read Reish and Reish Aleph and skip to page 116. The maimed I put in, if you have the time and you have the mind, it's not the whole maimed. You could see it's a piece of the maimed. The maimed that I left, is a long version of the short version you have on page Reish and Reish Aleph. Reish and Reish Aleph, you have like 15 lines that makes a point. This point is discussed at length, beginning on page Kuf Yotes, and then we continue on Kuf Chaf Aleph, Kuf Chaf Beis, Kuf Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Dalet, Kuf Chaf Hei. So the maimed is here for the people who want to learn more and who are more serious and more diligent. Otherwise, learn the page Reish Aleph. What is it? Reish and Reish Aleph, and then you'll go to page 116. Yes, thank you for coming. Bye-bye.